Well, praise God. How many of y'all are glad you came to church this morning? Woo! Yeah, that sounds pretty sad. Sound like y'all. I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's nice and cool. You didn't have to sweat this morning. So, I mean, how many of you are glad you came to church this morning? Thank you, dear Lord in heaven. Make pastor just want to go home. Go ride the Harley and have more fun. Now, I want to share some of these. So get your Bibles out this morning. And I want you to go to the book of 1 John. 1 John. You guys know, I mean, you know me and I got a great message this morning. Probably the best message I've ever preached in my life. Better than the one last week. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I see things pretty black and white, pretty simple. And one of the things that I love to do, and some of y'all may laugh at me, or some of you may really like this, but I love to watch the Billy Graham Classic Crusades. You know, it comes on there. And it's part of it's because my grandparents, I guess, knew that I was going to be trouble in life. And so every Saturday, if I was staying at their house, they made me watch Billy Graham with them. You know, I'll sit down. And I know that they were in the background praying, oh, God, get that kid, do something with him, you know, please. And of course, you know, I was always like, oh, God, we got to watch Billy Graham, you know, crusade, you know. But now I was watching one last night. It was in 1985. I think it's funny because, you know, he's always in an outdoor, arena or whatever, stadium or whatever. And there's always this certain point where he's preaching and the wind picks up. And his hair starts to flop over, you know, it starts to blow. And then it's like, all right, man, the meeting's on, man, his hair's blowing, he's, you know, preaching it. And then, you know, there's such a response, man. There's just like he preaches the simplest message and just thousands of people respond. You know, they sing, you know, and as the choir sings, just as I am, and then boom, you know, here people just come from everywhere and they come down to the front. And I'm like, man, you know, it's so amazing. It's so powerful, so moving that a very simple message was preached, but people respond. Today, it seems like we're putting on every dog and pony show, every hooping and hollering, smoke blowing thing that you could imagine. You know, you got to have dancing chimps run through the church in order to get people excited or to want to come or whatever. And I'm like, you know, come on, Jesus, what's happening in the world today? And I don't know that as if I've gotten older and pay more attention to things than when I was younger and just a working man and trying to raise the kids and figure out how you're going to, you know, get them through school or whatever, you know, and sporting events or whatever was my main focus. And now I'm just looking at the world in general. But it just seems like everything is crazy today. Maybe it's always been crazy. Maybe the world's always been nuts. I just finally woke up and opened my eyes and saw how nuts everything was. But it's like the world is going down a path and everything's taking place and nobody is really standing up and saying, excuse me, y'all don't think that's wrong? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, y'all think that's just me, or do you think, are y'all in agreement with me this morning? It seems like that. I mean, things that are just obvious, blatant, open, idiotic things, and you're just like, what? And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's right, you know, and I'm like, y'all with me? And I get real frustrated because I just want to just beat people. So bottom line, I'm sorry. I've gotten so bad that I don't even have it in my heart anymore to pray for them. I just want to beat them and then pray for them. It's like, now you're hurt. Now you want some help. Okay, now you need Jesus. You're closer to death. Okay. Maybe now you'll listen. And I know my approach is wrong, and I just, you know, but I'm saying that's the way I feel because I'm just kind of frustrated that the simple things in life that people should see, they don't see. And so anyway, I've been preaching this message about your faith and about the difference between walking in hope and walking in faith. And it kind of this is kind of turned into the where I want to preach on you this morning, talking about obstacles to your faith. Now, in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, look at verse 8. Verse 8. He says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother and is in darkness walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The first thing I want to talk about in the obstacles to your face is just being blind. Okay, now, I was thinking of this example just a while ago during praise and worship, and I thought this would be a pretty funny experiment, but I don't want to take the time to do it this morning, and so I'll just tell you. How many of you guys in here, I'm going to say guys, and I'll tell you in a minute why, but how many of you guys in here thought you could come up here to the front of the church and I could blindfold you and you could find your truck? Huh? Got any takers this morning? Frankie? Think you could do it, huh? Arnold says he could make it. Bruce, you could find your truck. Blindfold you right here, turn you loose, and then you could wander around blindfolded and get outside and find your truck. Could do it? Huh? You want to do it, Sue? Well, I'm pretty sure I think I could find my truck. It's not too far away. I think I could make it out there. Besides that, God gave us key rings now that have little beepers on there, and you could finally beep your way there. But I got to thinking about it. You know, that wouldn't really be the challenge. Because if I blindfolded you up front and then spun you around a little bit and then told everybody to stand up in the aisle, you know, and then all the guys that are left in here that aren't doing the deal to pull your pocket knife out and stand with your arm poked out like that. Y'all with me? Now you're getting a little bit, you know, you think, you know, in your mind you can close your eyes and say, okay, all I have to do is, you know, go over there and get the deal. But I would bet you that no matter who I blindfolded and put in here and spun you around a little bit and sent you out the door, you're going to run into something. You're not going to be able to just clearly walk and not bump a chair or, you know, maybe hit the door frame and especially if everybody's standing around with their pocket knife out, get poked. Y'all with me? And what the Lord's been speaking to me is that this is what's happened to the world right now, because the world does not walk in the light of the gospel. They don't walk in the light of the truth of God's word, that they're blinded. And although that morally, the moral compass of life may be directing them to say, well, this is the right thing to do, in order to get that away, they're being bumped over here and bumped over here and bumped over here. And, you know, you get enough bruises on you, you're gonna get a little tore up. They may have a moral compass down on the inside of them of what's right and wrong. Some people don't. Some people's compasses are just spinning around. But, you know, there may be a majority of people that have a moral compass of what is right and what is wrong. But when you're not walking in the truth of the gospel, you're not walking in what Jesus really said, you're not living in that word is not what's important to you, what happens is you become blind and you're going to bump into everything in life and you're going to get yourself in some trouble. Hello? Now, since I'm speaking to good Christian folk here this morning and try to do everything right, what that is when you're blind and you have kind of lost your way and you're just bumping into things, no matter how you want to cut it, that's sin. That's the biblical definition for sin, because sin simply means you're missing the mark. See, we want to attach the word sin to everything that has to do with an action. You know, you went out and got drunk last night and got in a fight. Hey, he's a sinner. I'm glad I'm not a sinner. All I did was sit at home and gossip. Okay, so you're gossip and in judgment. You see, I'm not wanting to preach this morning to make everybody feel guilty, even though we are having communion here in a minute. I'll give you a chance to get right. But I'm just saying we've got to watch it in life, because we as Christians living in this world today, we're pulled upon on every which way to possibly get off course of what we know the truth of the Word says. Are y'all with me? Hey, me. I get frustrated and want to beat somebody. That ain't right. Sin. I'm not having the truth of God's Word alive in me and following what Jesus said, pray for your brother when he's done you wrong. I said, I want to beat him, Lord. That's sin. It's missing the mark. See, religion wants to tie sin to everything that has to do with an action, like an event, a something. Well, they did that, so, you know, he's worse than I am as a sinner. Without the blood of Jesus, folks, without the grace and the mercy of God, there's not one of us that can stand before God. Come on, Elaine, let's just admit it. Every one of us are sinners. And none of us right and perfect. Without the blood of Jesus, you take the blood of Jesus off, you think you got a good enough resume to stand before God? Why? I mean, forget it, folks. Well, I don't do the big ones. I don't drink and dance and smoke. Give me a break. That you can't. There's no degree of sin in here. Sin. Whenever you miss a mark, you miss a mark. It don't make any difference how you're missing the mark. If you walked in judgment of somebody, you've missed the mark. It's funny how Christians just want to, you know, and it's human nature for us to feel like we want to feel more special than somebody else. So we're just not as big a sinner as they are. But then who let you be the one who determines what's a bigger sin than the other one? Hello. Come on now. Preaching really good. If you feel convicted right now, if the Holy Spirit's kind of pricking at you about something, that's a good thing. It means you're saved. That's a good thing. You should rejoice that you're being convicted. You should be rejoiced right now that if there's anything on the inside of your life, say, man, I really need to quit doing that. Oh, that's a good thing. Right? If you got no conviction, the Holy Ghost, you either have hardened your heart so much you're not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit anymore, or you're not saved. Come on, smile. It's okay. It's not bad. This is good news. Good news. I was sitting there the other morning thinking about something in my prayer time and reading my Bible, and I was just thinking about something. And then I thought about somebody, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit that quick convicted me of something. And I was like, that's good, Lord. And I was really here to talk about something else and didn't think I was going to get caught in a situation here. But and then all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit started to open eyes and said, Robert, I don't want you to walk in blindness. I don't want you to make a mistake. I don't want you to bump into the chair. I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to get in a trap or in a snare. I don't want you to get hurt. That's why I'm telling you this, so you can get out of it, because you're going to get blind in that area if you don't see and walk in the light. And I'm like, God, you're so merciful. You're so good. You're so good to me. You see, religion teaches us that whenever you've done something wrong, you've got to walk in shame and guilt and all this because you're such a sinner. Sinner. But folks, we're all sinners. I just don't want to be blind, because I know that I'm not going to get as hurt in life if I can see where I'm going. And the way you don't become blind is you walk in light. You walk in daylight, not dark. And so Jesus said, look, I've got the light here. I am the light of the world. And I don't want you to walk in blindness, but you got to walk in me. You got to walk in that truth. Okay? You with me? So the first obstacle you're going to have to your faith in life is that you're going to have this problem of not recognizing your sin in life, and you're going to be blind. Okay? So let me carry this on. Let me tell you there's three ways that you're going to basically walk in sin. Okay? The first way is that it's just learned behavior. I mean, bottom line, it's just learned behavior. Folks, I mean, God bless my parents and the way I was raised. And where's my mother? She's not in here to hear this. She always gets mad at me because I always in the dictionary. Y'all can tell her I said something good. But, you know, I was raised great. Man, I had great parents. I was raised great, but, I mean, we were cowboys. You know, we were rough. And, you know, there's some things that I learned in life that wasn't right. You know, y'all with me? You know, y'all are guilty too. Don't look at me like, oh, sinner. See, just getting religious. Right? I mean, there's things that I still to this day, I even wrestle with the Lord about it. Because, you know, I just really think that, you know, some justice should be dealt out sometimes. Let me just put it that way. When I read something about that, like the court case with the guy that shot everybody at Fort Hood, that we spent $5 million on court costs of trying him, take him out back and shoot him, man. That's the end of that story. I'm sorry, ain't got a lot of mercy on that. That's stupid. But I learned that behavior. Because there's other people in life that learn behavior that's different. Like you take a man and a woman who are having problems, marriage difficulties, and he's always, you know, hollering and screaming at his wife. But his father hollered and screamed at his mother. And then you learn that behavior. Y'all with me? And the only way you're not going to walk in that learned behavior is you have to have a standard of what says behavior is supposed to be. Y'all with me? The standard is the Word of God. And when you learn the truth of what the Word of God says, and you say, oh, that's not the way we're supposed to act. Okay. It convicts you. You stop doing it. Y'all with me? Then you're no longer walking in blindness. When you read the scripture that says, love your wife, honor her, then it convicts you, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm acting like my father, not my heavenly father. And so, forgive me, and I love you, and I want to make this work out. All of a sudden, you're not blind anymore, you can see. You follow me? And it's just learned behavior. There's no sense. You learned it honestly. There's no sense feeling guilty about it. You were just, well, you were taught. But you need to know what the Word of God says. You need to be convicted for what you know, how you need to change, and you need to do it differently. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, boy, that's really good. The second way that you're going to walk in blindness and in sin is it's literally the lack of self-control. All right? Bottom line is you don't control the appetites of the flesh. How many of y'all, when things are going bad and obstacles are in your way and you're a little discouraged and depressed, like to eat? Can I have a hand, show of hands here so I can be in the crowd? There's times in my life I can be the most disciplined person in the world. And other times it's like, bring on the ice cream. How many of you are like me? Sometimes, you know, you'll eat the old ice cream that's melted, that's down at the bottom, it's all iced over, that's not even really any good, but you'll eat it anyway. Right? But it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So what happens to us when we don't control the appetites of our flesh, and we just act like we want to act, what happens to us is that you've got to understand this. I'm trying to get y'all to see this morning, that then all you've done is blinded yourself. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. You just caused yourself to become blind in that area. Now, when you're walking blind, you're going to get hurt. And what happens to people is you get into the lack of self-control, whether whatever it be, it's causing you to get into a place, an area that you don't see that you're blind. And you're going to start making bad decisions. You're going to start doing things that are wrong. You're going to start getting yourself into trouble. And then what's going to happen is it's going to cost you more. That's the message of love that's trying to be preached this morning to you. Is I don't want to see you get hurt. Because you got to walk in light. Can't walk in darkness. You can't walk blind. Hello? So the second way that this is going to come upon you is going to happen to you. It's just going to be simply the lack of self-control. All right? Now, what's right and what's wrong? Where does it go to? Again, what the Word of God says. Are y'all with me? Again, we don't want to get religious and we don't become religious fanatics and say, well, if you're going to walk in self-control, everybody has to wear a white shirt. Everybody has to do their hair a certain way. Everybody has to do this. Folks, listen, that's just religious rules. Ain't going to get you nowhere. All right? If you want to be religious, go to India. We've got thousands of gods to worship there. You can just be as religious as you want to. I don't want to be religious. I want something that works. I want an application of the Word of God to my life that's going to bring liberty to me. I want to be able to pray to the Holy Ghost and say, you know, the Holy Ghost, right now, I'm in a bad sort, and I'm going to go in there and eat a half pound of ice cream. And then not be blind and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, well, Robert, you need to forgive this person, or you need to do that, because then you're going to get out of that. And you're not going to feel like this. I'm like, oh, you're right, Holy Ghost, thank you. And then I can see, and then I'm not in that problem, in that state. Y'all with me? Okay, the third place that you're going to run into this blindness, walking in sin, third way is obstacles that come in your life. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus speaking himself said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. How many of y'all want peace? I want peace in life, all right? In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Listen to me. Things are gonna happen, all right? Things are gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I can't tell you that it's not. You're gonna be faced with obstacles in life. But how you handle those obstacles, how you handle those problems in life is what's going to make the difference of the outcome. For some reason today, it's rampant in the world today that everybody wants to justify their own actions rather than taking personal responsibility for their actions. It's rampant in the world today. Rather than somebody just admitting that they're wrong, they don't want to do that. They want the world, they want to be justified before the world for the wrong that they're doing. Well, I have the right to be mad at so-and-so because you know what he did to me? Are y'all with me? And I want to tell you something. All that gets you is more blindness. All that does is take you deeper into a place of darkness. Have you, I believe it's Carlsbad Caverns I was at when I was a kid. And they were down there in a certain place in there and they shut the lights off to show you how dark it is. Oh, man. That is thick black darkness. That is hold your hand in front of your face and can't see it. That is like spooky, weird, freaky, like you want to scream, turn on the lights! And as soon as they turn them on, you want to get out of there. I mean, it's like smothering darkness. Y'all with me? Because we all know, you know, there's a little bit you can, there's times that, you know, the moon's kind of shining at night, you can kind of see, right? Sometimes it's really bright, but this is darkness. I don't want to walk in something that's going to take me into a place of darkness like that, that I'm trying to figure out where I need to go. And what happens in life is obstacles come our way, stumbling blocks come our way, and the way that you handle it is going to make the difference of your outcome. If you're going to get bitter and angry and resentful, and you're going to have envy and strife come into your life because of the obstacle that happened to you, you're just digging your hole deeper. You're just going to end up in, I don't care how you cut it, folks, more sin that's going to cause you to be more blind and not see the goodness of God that wants to come your way. Hello? See, God loves us so much, He doesn't want us in that darkness. He wants us in the light with Him. He wants us in the joy with Him. So why does He convict us by the Holy Ghost? Because He wants us over in the light. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be convicted. It's a good thing to feel guilty for whatever you're doing. It's great. Because God's pricking at you. Say, come on, come to the light. Don't turn that turn. Don't go down that road. Now, I want to tell you something. There's ugly people in life. And I'm not talking about physical beauty. There's some ugly-hearted, ugly, mean, wicked, no good scoundrels in life. Hello? And you're going to run across them in life. And all you can do is deal with it. You can try to call fire down from heaven upon them, burn them up. I can tell you it won't work. I've already done it. You can pray for God to smite them with a plague, leprosy to come upon their bodies. It won't work. I've already tried it. I mean, I've asked God to just give me the Moses trick, you know, where you just go and you say, you know, put your hand inside your shirt, pull it out, it's leprous white. Put your hand back in your shirt, and it's normal, you know, and just do that and say, this is going to happen to you if you don't stop right now. And watch the terror on their face. But, you know, God hadn't given me that. Now, you know, the one I've never prayed for is the throwing the staff down, turning into a snake, because I ain't picking up no snake. I mean, if I was Moses right there, I'd say, Lord, you can keep the snake, man. I'll get me a new staff. I ain't grabbing the snake by the tail. I don't care what you say it's going to do. Grabbing no snake. I mean, I'm out the door on that one. I'd have run right through the burning bush to get away from that sucker. All right? But it's these obstacles. They're going to come in your way, church. They're going to come all upon you. They're going to be there. You can't. There's no sense. Listen to me. If I could just, I just want y'all to see this. There's no sense saying, God, why did this happen to me? Oh, God, why is this going on? Oh, why did this happen? Did I do this or I do that? Listen to me. You just got to deal with it. It's obstacles. We live in a fallen world. You got to understand they blew it in the garden. You want to be mad at somebody? Don't be mad at God. Be mad at Eve and Adam. Y'all with me? It isn't God's fault. God put it in their control. They blew it. I get so tired when people say, well, why'd God do this to me? I will say, it was Adam and Eve. It wasn't God. Well, He could fix this if He wanted to. No, you have to, by your faith, and walk through it. Do we want to? No. Is it fun? No. I don't like forgiving people that have wronged me. Do you? I want justification. I want a court hearing by the Holy Ghost and angels with swords and... I want to state my case, lay it out before them and... I want an angel standing there with a sword just like going to take their head off and watch the fear in their eyes as they have to give justification before God. So, pastor's crazy. I am. But you do too. I don't want to read the scripture, pray for your enemies. Are y'all with me? But the Bible says if you do, you know what happens? You're going to walk in light. And you're not going to have that darkness come upon you that you can feel. And I don't want that. So I say, God, that's what I want. But I ain't going to walk in that because I don't want to walk in darkness. So, Father, I'm going to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't even like them. But I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to start this process out because this obstacle, I am not going to let come in here and blind my life and cause me to walk off into a ditch and fall down in that darkness. See, you have to be smart enough to understand what's going on so you can stop it. Otherwise, the sin is going to consume you. And it's going to be the scripture actually calls it gross darkness upon you. It's where you can feel it. And I don't like that feeling. As much as I would want the court case to take place, I do not want to be there in gross darkness. Okay? So, there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be obstacles. And it's obstacles. You've got to understand it. Get smart, church. When it happens to you, say, wait, this is trying to steal my faith. This is what it's about. It's trying to steal my faith. It's trying to get me over here in a ditch. Ain't going there. Start getting smart. You know, one of the things that I grew up watching all the time was boxing. And, you know, you think it's just two guys in there fighting, just swinging and just like, you know, but they're not street fighting. There's all kinds of things they're looking for, that little moment that guy lets his guard down or does something a little bit different to get that punch, get that, you know, whatever punch they're going to throw at that moment, because they're always looking to try to see what can they do to get him to let his guard down or change his position so they can get the punch in that would knock him out. Folks, that's the way you got to fight your life. Instead of just trying to just defend yourself, get smart. Don't let the blindness come on you. Notice and say, oh, this is an obstacle. You're going to try to steal my faith, but I'm going to give you I'm going to dodge it. Come up here. Y'all with me? Got to be smart. Got to be smart. And if you need to get down to throwing dirt and rocks and swinging sticks, bless God, just win. Just don't let the obstacle beat you. All right? Okay. Now, I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to hear the words of what's being said here. My little children, these things are right to you, so that you may not sin. You've got to understand something, church. The Holy Spirit is trying to open up our minds so that we can simply see that the era of walking in sin keeps us away from God. That's the point. For some reason, religion wants to keep you in shame and guilt so that you, through penance, pay the price. Folks, your price has already been paid by Jesus. He just doesn't want you to walk in blindness. And if anyone sins, here we go. So if anyone sins, so are we not, do we all not fall in the category of anyone? If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, I like that. I like that. You know, if you're going to get a deal done in life, you know, it always helps to have an inside man speaking on your behalf. I'm glad to know in heaven, in the ear of that, the person who has the ear of my heavenly Father is Jesus. And I'm glad to know that he's my advocate. He works for me. He's working on my behalf. He's standing up there saying, you know, wait a minute, Robert's going to make it. He's got the blood over him. It's okay. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Now, the word propitiation there, if you look at it in the Greek, it really means the mercy seat. It's the actual altar of where there was all total and complete forgiveness. He said he's actually the mercy seat that follows you around, being there for your offering at every moment. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, just think of this imagery. You know, I know that probably the most widely known of the Ark of the Covenant is from Raiders of the Lost Ark with Harrison Ford, the movie. If you say, oh, that one that's in the movies? No, yeah, but it was really there. It really was an ark. It wasn't just Hollywood. There was really an ark. And that was really where the high priest poured out the blood upon it every year for the atonement of the sins of Israel, so that all the Israel could be clean and in front of God. All right? Jesus is saying, I am your mercy seat. I'm your mercy seat that follows you around. I am the propitiation for your sins. I'm the mercy seat that's there all the time for you just to turn and say, ooh, wait a minute, Lord. I'm getting caught and trapped in sin. I see this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You pricked my heart, and I need to be forgiven, so I repent. Now, repentance is a word that, you know, here's two words, sin and repentance, that's been used in wrong ways to make you think they're bad things. They're so good. To be convicted of sin is a good thing. To know and understand repentance is a great thing. Repentance, you know what repentance means? I'm just simply saying, simple form, what repentance means, just turn the other way. Turn around. Just turn around. Just quit beating your head against the rock and going nowhere, and just turn around and go the other way. That's what it means. Sin just means you missed the mark, and repentance just means you're turning around and going the other way. It's two great things. The conviction of sin and the repentance of walking in that sin, the turning around of it. Are y'all with me? Got one more scripture for you. Ladies, could y'all go ahead and bring the communion down, please? Look at 1 John chapter 1. It says, I'm in verse 5, and this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we made him a liar, and his word is not in us. Folks, how much simpler can you get? Now listen to me. The mistake that a lot of Christians make, and we're going to have communion here in just a second. The mistake that a lot of Christians make is we look at another Christian to see how they're living their lives and use that as the ruler or the judgment of our lives. Are y'all with me? Well, oh, so-and-so, he doesn't do that, and gosh, I always do that, and I, you know. And so we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And I want you to know that that in itself is sin. The real understanding and the real key to walking in light and not getting in darkness through sin and being blinded is simply that we keep a life of every time our heart, or let me say it this way, the Holy Spirit convicts us of something we're doing, we repent. Throughout the scriptures, it talks about if your heart doesn't condemn you, it's not sin. But if your heart condemns you, it's sin. Do you know that there's churches in Europe that fight back and forth between each other, which one's the bigger sinner? Because one group of churches, their denominations, they believe it's okay to drink coffee. But the other one says that drinking coffee is a sin because it has caffeine in it. And then the other church, they smoke. Don't believe there's anything wrong with smoking. And then the other denomination, they really hugely believe that there's really major sin if you're smoking. So they sit around all the time judging each other because who drank a cup of coffee and the other one who smoked a cigarette. Because see, they're only looking at the outward manifestation, I guess you'd say. The outward action. When I say, the Bible says it's your heart that's got to be the judge. It's got to listen to the Holy Spirit, what He's talking to you about. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, that's what you repent of. Quit judging yourself by other people, what other people do and what other people say. Listen to your heart. If you're not convicted in your heart, now, listen to me. You can put on a good show. Well, the Lord told me it was okay to be mad at so-and-so because he's a sinner anyway. And you can convince yourself of that, but let me say, when you go to sleep at night and you're laying there with your head on the bed and you're just kind of in a peaceful place and whatever, what does the Holy Ghost say to you? Come on. Don't deceive yourselves. You can deceive the outside the world, but don't deceive yourself. If you live a life like that, you know what's going to happen to you? I'm talking about repenting. You're going to walk in the light and you're going to see things differently. That's what the problem is also in the world today. They want to say you can get to heaven without believing in Jesus. You can't. It's darkness they're walking in. It's not what the Word says. Oh, God's going to accept everybody. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be good. You're walking in darkness. You're deceiving yourself. They can convince themselves of that all the time, but if they look down within their heart, there's a conviction upon every man's heart that they need to trust and believe in God and Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hello? Last night when I was watching Billy Graham, he said this, and it was so perfect. I never really had thought of it like this. He said he was quoting different men who were judges and lawyers and Supreme Court lawyers and justices of Audell, and was talking about that people don't want to believe in the resurrection, but he said we have tried cases and given a verdict of guilty or not guilty with less evidence than is in the world about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's more evidence in that Jesus was raised from the dead, that He was the Son of God, that He is the Son of God. There's more sound evidence that if we were weighing the case, we'd say, yes, a man was raised from the dead. But folks, people just don't want to, they deceive themselves. They don't want to look at the truth. The truth is God loves you. The truth is God wants you to walk in light. The truth is He does not want you to be deceived. That He convicts you of sin because He wants us to walk in that light. And He gives us a way out. And the truth is the Holy Spirit is what pricks your heart and tells you what you need to do. If you'll listen. If you'll listen. Amen. So here's the time now. We're going to have communion here. Living Waters Church, you have an open communion service. Okay, everybody that you're a believer in Jesus Christ is more than welcome to have communion with us this morning. And it's right here at a time like this that gives you the ability to close your eyes, to worship a little bit, to look inside your heart and ask the Holy Spirit, is there something I need to be repenting of? It's times just like this that moment the Holy Spirit can just prick us about something. He can just say, God, I'm sorry, Lord. I messed up. I'm looking at this wrong. Boom. Now you're out of the darkness. You're in the light. It's going to be good. You're going to see things you didn't know was out there. an obstacle that's about to whack you in the head. Light comes on, just sit and move away from it. Make sense? So, if I can, let me have my pastoral team come down, my prayer team this morning, so I can serve y'all, so then y'all can help serve everybody else. And while they're down here, while my wife is playing, look into your hearts. Ask the Holy Spirit what you need to do. Do some repenting. The scriptures tell us on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread, that he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Now take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you." Man, it's so amazing to me that God gives us just a simple loaf of bread, a simple illustration. And he says, "I want you this morning to realize that my body, it was broken on that cross for you so that your body can be made whole." Whatever you need this morning from Jesus to heal your broken heart, to bind up every wound, to take everything that's gone on in your life, he can fix it here this morning by you open up your heart to him. So Lord, we thank you for your broken body. Then the scriptures tell us he took the cup. And he said, "Now this cup, it's a new covenant. It's a new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sin." Folks, the old covenant said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The old covenant said you be perfect or you're out. Praise God, the new covenant says, "My blood and my price on that cross at Calvary is sufficient to cover all your sins, to be in your life and to change your life and to bless you and to minister to you whatever you need." That's what the new covenant says. My blood, Jesus' blood, is more than enough. So Lord, we thank you for this cup this morning. And Lord, we just give you praise for everything that it represents in our life. Victory through your blood.